Welcome to Morning Manna, January the 19th, 2020. Let us pray. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have continued to teach us day by day, so that we might understand your truth and be prepared for the time to come. We ask that you would continue to give us the strength, so that we might stand with you and be a witness for you. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Today we've reached the 14th chapter of the book of Acts, and we begin at verse 1. And it came to pass in Iconium that they went both together into the synagogue of the Jews, and so spake that a great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles, and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. Long time therefore abode they speaking boldly in the Lord, which gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. But the multitude of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. And when there was an assault made, both of the Gentiles, and also of the Jews with their rulers, to use them despitefully, and to stone them, they were aware of it, and fled unto Lystra and Derbe, cities of Lycaonia, and unto the region that lieth round about. And there they preached the gospel. And there sat a certain man at Lystra, impotent in his feet, being a cripple from his mother's womb, who never had walked. The same heard Paul speak, who steadfastly beholding him, and perceiving that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, "Stand right up on your feet." And he leapt and walked. And when the people saw that what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." And they called Barnabas Jupiter, and Paul, Mercurius, because he was the chief speaker. Then the priest of Jupiter, which was before their city, brought even the garlands unto the gates, and would have done sacrifice with the people, which when the apostles Barnabas and Paul heard of, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, crying out, and saying, "Sirs, why do ye these things? We also are men of like passions and like you, and preach unto you that ye should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea, and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good, and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings scarce restrained they the people, that they had not done sacrifice unto them. And there came thither certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who persuaded the people, and having stoned Paul, drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. Howbeit, as the disciples stood round about him, he rose up, and came into the city, and the next day he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. And when they had preached the gospel to that city, and had taught many, they returned again to Lystra, and to Iconium, and Antioch, confirming the souls of the disciples, and exhorting them to continue in the faith, and that we must through much tribulation enter into the kingdom of God. And when they had ordained them elders in every church, and had prayed with fasting, they commended them to the Lord, on whom they believed. And after they passed through Pisidia, they came to Pamphylia. And when they had preached the word in Perga, they went down to Attalia, and thence sailed to Antioch, from whence they had been recommended to the grace of God for the work which they fulfilled. And when they were come, and had gathered the church together, they rehearsed all that God had done with them, and how he had opened the door of faith unto the Gentiles. And there they abode long time with the disciples. In the book Acts of the Apostles, page 117, beginning at paragraph 1, it says this: "From Antioch to Pisidia, Paul and Barnabas went to Iconium. In this place, as at Antioch, they began their labors in the synagogue of their own people. They met with marked success, A great multitude, both of the Jews and also of the Greeks, believed. But in Iconium, as in other places where the apostles labored, the unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles and made their minds evil, affected against the brethren. The apostles, however, were not turned aside from their mission, for many were accepting the gospel of Christ. In the face of opposition, envy, and prejudice, they went on with their work, speaking boldly in the Lord and God, and gave testimony unto the word of his grace, and granted signs and wonders to be done by their hands. These evidences of divine approval had a powerful influence on those whose minds were open to conviction, and converts to the gospel multiplied. The increasing popularity of the message borne by the apostles filled the unbelieving Jews with envy and hatred, and they determined to stop the labors of Paul and Barnabas at once. By means of false and exaggerated reports, they led the authorities to fear that the entire city was in danger of being incited to insurrection. They declared that large numbers were attaching themselves to the apostles and suggested that it was for secret and dangerous designs. In consequence of these charges, the disciples were repeatedly brought before the authorities, but their defense was so clear and sensible, and their statement of what they were teaching so calm and comprehensive, that a strong influence was exerted in their favor. Although the magistrates were prejudiced against them by the false statements they had heard, they dared not condemn them. They could but acknowledge that the teaching of Paul and Barnabas tended to make men virtuous, law-abiding citizens, and that the morals and order of the city would improve if the truths taught by the apostles were accepted. Through the opposition that the disciples met, the message of truth gained great publicity. The Jews saw that their efforts to thwart the work of the new teachers resulted only in adding greater numbers to the new faith. The multitudes of the city was divided, and part held with the Jews, and part with the apostles. So enraged were the leaders among the Jews by the turn that matters were taking, that they determined to gain their end by violence, arousing the worst passions of the ignorant, noisy mob. They succeeded in creating a tumult, which they attributed to the teaching of the disciples. By this false charge, they hoped to gain the help of the magistrates in carrying out their purpose. They determined that the apostles should have no opportunity to vindicate themselves, and that the mob should interfere by stoning Paul and Barnabas, thus putting an end to their labors. Friends of the apostles, though unbelievers, warned them of the malicious designs of the Jews, and urged them not to expose themselves needlessly to the fury of the mob, but to escape for their life. Paul and Barnabas accordingly departed in secret from Iconium, leaving the believers to carry on the work alone for a time. But they by no means took final leave. They purposed to return after the excitement had abated and complete the work begun. In every age and in every land, God's messengers have been called upon to meet bitter opposition from those who deliberately chose to reject the light of heaven. Often by misinterpretation and falsehood, the enemies of the gospel have seemingly triumphed, closing the doors by which God's messengers might gain access to the people. But these doors cannot remain forever closed, and often as God's servants have returned after a time to resume their labors, the Lord has wrought mightily in their behalf, enabling them to establish memorials to the glory of his name. Driven by persecution from Iconium, the apostles went to Lystra and Derbe and Laconia. These towns were inhabited largely by a heathen, superstitious people, but among them were some who were willing to hear and accept the gospel message. In these places and in the surrounding country, the apostles decided to labor, hoping to avoid Jewish prejudice and persecution. In Lystra, there was no Jewish synagogue. Though a few Jews were living in the town, many of the inhabitants of Lystra worshipped at a temple dedicated to Jupiter. When Paul and Barnabas appeared in the town and gathered the Lystrians about them, explaining the simple truths of the gospel, many sought to connect these doctrines with their own superstitious belief in the worship of Jupiter. The apostles endeavored to impart to these idolaters a knowledge of God, the Creator, and of his Son, the Savior of the human race. They first directed attention to the wonderful works of God, the sun, the moon, and the stars, the beautiful order of the recurring seasons, the mighty snow-capped mountains, the lofty trees, the other varied wonders of nature, which showed a skill beyond human comprehension. Through these works of the Almighty, the apostles led the minds of the heathen to a contemplation of the great ruler of the universe. Having made plain these fundamental truths concerning the Creator, the apostles told the Lystrians of the Son of God, who came from heaven to our world because he loved the children of men. They spoke of his life and ministry, his rejection by those he came to save, his trial and his crucifixion, his resurrection and his ascension to heaven, there to act as man's advocate. Thus, in the spirit and power of God, Paul and Barnabas preached the gospel in Lystra. At one time, while Paul was telling the people of Christ's work as a healer of the sick and afflicted, he saw among his hearers a cripple whose eyes were fastened on him and who received and believed his words. Paul's heart went out in sympathy toward the afflicted man, in whom he discerned one who had faith to be healed. In the presence of the idolatrous assembly, Paul commanded the cripple to stand upright on his feet. Heretofore, the sufferer had been able to take a sitting posture only, but now he instantly obeyed Paul's command, and for the first time in his life, stood on his feet. Strength came with this effort of faith, and he who had been a cripple leaped and walked. When the people saw what Paul had done, they lifted up their voices, saying in the speech of Lycaonia, "The gods are come down to us in the likeness of men." This statement was in harmony with the tradition of theirs that the gods occasionally visited the earth. Barnabas they called Jupiter, the father of the gods, because of his venerable appearance and his dignified bearing and the mindless and benevolent expression of his countenance. Paul they believed to be Mercury because he was the chief speaker, earnest and active, eloquent with words of warning and exhortation. The Lystrians, eager to show their gratitude, prevailed upon the priest of Jupiter to do the apostle honor and to bring oxen and garlands onto the gates, and would have done sacrifices to Paul and Barnabas with the people. Paul and Barnabas, who had sought retirement and rest, were not aware of these preparations. Soon, however, their attention was attracted by the sound of music and the enthusiastic shouting of a large crowd who had come to the house where they were staying. When the apostles ascertained the cause of this visit and its attendant excitement, they rent their clothes and ran in among the people, in the hope of preventing further proceedings. In a loud ringing voice, which rose above the shouting of the people, Paul demanded their attention. And as the tumult suddenly ceased, he said, "Sirs, why do you these things? We also are men of like passions with you, and preach unto you that you should turn from these vanities unto the living God, which made heaven and earth and the sea and all things that are therein, who in times past suffered all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he left not himself without witness, in that he did good and gave us rain from heaven, and fruitful seasons, filling our hearts with food and gladness." Notwithstanding the positive denial of the apostles that they were divine, and notwithstanding Paul's endeavors to direct the minds of the people to the true God as the only object worthy of adoration, it was almost impossible to turn the heathen from their intention to offer sacrifice. So firm had been their belief that these men were indeed gods, and so great their enthusiasm, that they were loath to acknowledge their error. The record says that they were scarce restrained. The Lystrians recognized and reasoned that they had beheld with their own eyes the miraculous power exercised by the apostles. They had seen a cripple who had never been before able to walk, made to rejoice in perfect health and strength. It was only after much persuasion on the part of Paul and careful explanation regarding the mission of himself and Barnabas as representatives of the God of heaven and of his Son that the people were persuaded to give up their purpose of sacrifice. The labors of Paul and Barnabas at Lystra were suddenly checked by the malice of certain Jews from Antioch and Iconium, who, upon learning of the success of the apostles' work among the Laconians, had determined to follow them and persecute them. On arriving at Lystra, these Jews soon succeeded in inspiring the people with the same bitterness of spirit that actuated their own minds. By words of misrepresentation and calumny, those who had recently regarded Paul and Barnabas as divine beings were persuaded that in reality the apostles were worse than murderers and were deserving of death. The disappointment that the Lystrians had suffered in being refused the privilege of offering sacrifices to the apostles prepared them to turn against Paul and Barnabas with an enthusiasm approaching that with which they had hailed them as gods. Incited by the Jews, they planned to attack the apostles by force. The Jews charged them not to allow Paul an opportunity to speak, alleging that if they were to grant him this privilege, he would bewitch the people. Soon the murderous designs of the enemies of the gospel were carried out. Yielding to the influence of evil, the Lystrians became possessed with a satanic fury, and seizing Paul, mercilessly stoned him. The apostle thought that his end had come. The martyrdom of Stephen and the cruel part that he himself had acted upon that occasion came vividly to his mind. Covered with bruises and faint with pain, he fell to the ground, and the infuriated mob drew him out of the city, supposing he had been dead. In this dark and trying hour, the company of Lystrian believers, who through the ministry of Paul and Barnabas had been converted to the faith of Jesus, remained loyal and true. The unreasoning opposition and cruel persecution by their enemies served only to confirm the faith of these devoted brethren. And now, in the face of danger and scorn, they showed their loyalty by gathering sorrowfully about the form of him who they believed to be dead. But alas, he was not, and he arose. What a powerful story that describes the persecution that existed, that Paul and Barnabas faced. It is symbolic of that which will have to be faced by those who stand for Christ during the last days to come. You and I need to be prepared for the time to come as we stand as witnesses for Christ, not necessarily only verbally, but in our lifestyle, in the choices that we make, in the attitudes that we demonstrate. We will ultimately be called upon to be witnesses and examples for our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Today, God is calling us to prepare for that time, that our hearts might be resting in Christ Jesus. God is calling us to study His Word so that we might absorb the truths found therein and they might be transformative where our lives are concerned. We are called indeed to be witnesses, to share that which we have with others. And today, God is calling you to be that witness. Why not approach the throne of God today? Why not ask for forgiveness? Why not come with an attitude of humility? Why not ask God to do for you that which you cannot do for yourself? He will show you what needs to be changed within you. He will demonstrate for you all that needs to be done so that you might indeed accomplish the work that needs to be done. Today you have an opportunity. Today is a special day. Today you can spend some time alone in your closet with God. The facts that you need to share with God have nothing to do with another human being. They are things that you need to talk with Him alone about, so that your heart might be transformed and your lifestyle changed, and you receive the power and the strength necessary to resist evil and to abandon the attitudes and the practices that you have engaged in the past. So why not come to God today and commit yourself to Him, asking Him to give you the strength that is necessary, asking Him to build your faith so that it might be strong enough and enduring enough to change your entire lifestyle, that you might follow Him. We thank you, Heavenly Father, that you have given us an opportunity to come into your courts today. We thank you for all that you continue to do for us. We thank you for the transformation that is available to us. And we ask that you would give us the strength and the courage and the endurance necessary that we might overcome all that we must, so that we might walk according to your will. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. This has been Morning Manna, January the 19th, 2020.